This is Will's Band of the Week for January 22nd, 2017. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett, live in studio.
Well, hello. So it's like a while since we've done one of these regular ones.
Like, everything is just totally back to normal now, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like the end of year never happened, the Trump election never happened, we're just back to normal.
Right, exactly. We're going to pretend everything is fine.
Right. But, you know, it's kind of cool, music-wise.
Yeah.
Because the new releases have started, and we can start focusing on new things. And I think it was a good end of year, don't you think? Just to sum up the 2016
thing. I do. There was more stuff than usual, right? More different people chiming in.
Yeah.
Probably just by two, the two young ones we had this year.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I think it was good. So on to 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Those numbers are getting kind of big, aren't they?
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know, I'm having a hard time. You know, I don't have, it's not necessarily like writing 17 instead of 16, but thinking stuff like, you know, 2009 was 8 years ago. Like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
It's kind of crazy. Yeah, the years fly by. So that's why we got to keep doing this podcast, right? So we can make use of the years as they're flying by.
Then I'm also kind of overcompensating. Like, I'll think 1997, and I'll think that was 30 years ago. So I got that all wrong, too. I just don't know what...
It was only 20 years ago.
I know. I can figure it out if I sit down and take a moment, but...
I get, you know, when I start calculating back to the, like, the 70s, I kind of forget how many decades that was sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was so many.
Right.
Right. I don't know. We've talked about some 30th anniversaries, but now we're getting into some 40th anniversaries with the 70s stuff.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy stuff. Yeah. So, well, do we have any live reports? I don't have any. Do you?
I don't either.
We haven't been scouting out the live scene very much lately. Wait a minute. I have a little bit of a live report.
What's that?
Well, my wife and I, we went to Chicago for her birthday the first weekend of January. And... just, you know, a nice weekend in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided to check out a little music thing they had going on there. I'm calling it a music thing. It's called... Well, before I talk about it, I guess we should probably play this. It was called Ian's Party. So they do this thing the first week of January. I guess they've done it for a few years now. You know those venues on the kind of near north side by Damon Street? There's the Subterranean, and there is the Double Door, and then there's this other place called the, I think it was called the Chop Shop, which is a butcher. You know, and they and in the back there's a big room that they made into a music venue. So all of these places are within like two blocks of each other, and they just had bands all night. And they had both upstairs and downstairs at the Double Door and the Subterranean, and then this extra venue at the, I think it's called the Chop Shop. And it was kind of cool because there are all these bands playing all night, so you could just get a, like, for $20 for the evening, you could just roam around. So we did that.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
It was pretty fun.
Did you see anything noteworthy, or was it just kind of quick stops at each place?
It was pretty much quick stops. The one band that kind of made an impression on me that I liked was called Bow and Spear. They were pretty cool. So then we saw a few other bands, many of whom were pretty good. So kind of a cool thing. But I did. I almost got killed, though. That was the negative part of it.
You almost got killed.
Yeah.
All right. Let's hear more about that.
Okay, we were waiting to get into the pizza place up the street that was like filled to capacity. But it wasn't that long of a line, but we had to wait outside. So because there was a wait there, I told Maya that I would run up and just check this other restaurant like two blocks away to see if they had a wait there. So she maintained our place in line, and I ran up the street, and then I ran across the street, and there's a three-way intersection. It's Damon, North Avenue, and Milwaukee Street, I think?
Yep.
Okay, big intersection, right? Green light, walk light, no problem, right? I was running. Well, just as I was running and about halfway across the intersection, somebody decided to zip through the intersection at about 30 miles an hour, you know, probably going through a red, right?
Right.
And missed me by a good 5 feet as I was running.
Wow.
I was like...
He's behind you or across in front of you?
Right in front of me. And I'm like, boy, I'm glad I didn't get killed just now.
Right.
Yeah, it was a little scary.
Wow.
So luckily I didn't get killed and I'm still here. And now I know that you better watch where you're going if you're running across an intersection in Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you get then back to the pizza place or?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it Slice?
It's that place called Peace Pizza.
Oh,
and
right.
Brewery.
That's right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that. That's on.
It's on.
It's on Damon.
It's on.
Isn't it?
It's on North Avenue, just east of Damon. And there's a little trivia item. Did you know that one of the people who invested in that, in the building where they are, I think they bought the building. One of the investors is Rick Nielsen, the guitar player for Cheap Trick.
Wow.
So there
pretty
you go.
Neat.
See, there's a little music tie in there. That and I didn't get killed, so that was good. All right. That's your live report.
Wow. Anytime you don't get killed
at
a live report, that's kind of a...
It's a good thing.
It's a bonus.
I think there are a couple things that are potential live shows in the near future. Now, in the meantime, probably since the last time we talked to Craig, he's probably seen like 6 or 7 shows, right?
Right.
See, he kind of puts us to shame.
He's probably doing it right now.
Yeah.
I saw on Facebook that today is his birthday.
Ah.
And his girlfriend took some pictures on a train. They were headed someplace, so...
That's cool.
You know, knowing Craig is taking a train somewhere, he's probably not going to a zoo.
Right. It's going
to
probably involve
a museum. He's probably going to go to a show.
It's going
to
be rock and roll and some pints of beer, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a good way to live life, I think.
It is.
Yeah. All right. So, well, we have now that it's January, the new stuff's coming out. We have, I'm going to say, 2 indie rock veterans, right? One's like really indie
one's
rock veterans.
Very much of a veteran.
One's
the other one
becoming indie rock veterans.
Yeah.
Right? So, and it's great because we sealed in a secret envelope our opinions about these things, right? We have not talked about it.
We've not said one word.
So we don't know. Like, one of us might completely trash it. One might love it. I mean, just we don't know. And that's part of the unpredictability of this podcast, right?
Yeah.
So, well, let's talk about the new Flaming Lips album. The first thing we have to say about it is it's a little bit unclear how to pronounce the name of the album.
I think it's Oxymelody.
You know what? We have a consensus.
Okay.
That's what Wayne Coyne called it. I heard him pronounce it. Oxymelody.
Yeah, I just heard... Wilson must have heard Wayne Coyne say it, because that's what he keeps saying.
Yeah. So, but I think, isn't that a Polish term or something? Or is
I don't
it
know.
Czech? It's Czech or Polish.
That I don't know.
Yeah. And it the meaning, I think, is one of the song titles, Eyes of the Young. I think that's what it means. So there you go. It could be wrong, but our music journalism tends to be correct.
Yeah,
so
I think so.
Do you think we should just play a song and then start our detailed discussion?
You make your first pick.
Hmm. All right. Pressure's on me. I think I will go with The Castle.
Oh,
castle. I think you'd have to call that a kind of hearkening back to their glory days, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
The sound of that?
Yeah, melodically. Mm-hmm. And that's what, well, I'll just go back and say, this is kind of going back, like they pre-released, that's the latest thing that you do now, right, in the digital world. You have an album coming out, let's say your album's coming out in 2 months or even 3 months. You put out the first song to get people kind of curious. Then like 3 weeks later, you put out a second one. 3 weeks after that, you know, maybe when a couple weeks before the album is getting released, you put out another one, right? So that's what they did. And the singles, the catchy tunes on this album, I think are really good.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm not sure whether the one that that I'll pick out is one of the catchy ones. I do like the seventh song, which is called, it's got one of these weird long titles, One Night While Hunting for Fairies and Witches and Wizards to Kill. And it doesn't really sound much like, you know, Yoshimi or Soft Bulletin or, what was the one after Yoshimi? Whatever.
At War with the Mystics.
At War with the Mystics. It doesn't really fit into that, you know, triad of classic albums, but it's kind of repetitive, but I just really like, it's got a nice synth-based sound to it, and it's repetitive, and, you know, it's got kind of that typically Flaming Lips-y psychedelic imagery and stuff. So,
all right, here it is. Flaming Lips.
So whenever I hear that really low synth sound, I wonder, why don't people use that more often? And I kind of came up with a theory. I think because in most cars, that would just sound horrible.
Yeah.
Playing over a car stereo.
It is, when you get music that has something that goes that low, it becomes sound system dependent to some degree, doesn't it?
Right.
Because when we have one car, one of our cars seems to have like a deeper subwoofer or something as part of the system. And so I was playing this album in that car and it just went boom, like really low.
Right. And then, all the little change and pens like in the door pockets are
starts to shake.
Yeah. And you realize all the loose things you have in the car. It's like, okay.
Yeah. And then, but the other car doesn't go that low. Mm-hmm. Can't remember whether I've listened to this particular album in that car, but it does make a difference. Yeah.
What would it sound like on a transistor radio? I guess just...
Yeah, I mean, you'd just hear the the melody, but you wouldn't hear that low stuff at all. It just would be completely not there.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
So I do sometimes think, listening to this album, that I wish there were a little bit more real drums and guitar. Right? Don't you kind of miss the early Flaming Lips? Because, you know, it just, the sound was so different. And, you know, they'd become just totally a synth band. Right. And some of, you know, some of this drony stuff I can kind of take or leave. So I'll just put it out there. I have a kind of a mixed review of this album, but a little bit onto the positive, because I think it's got a lot of, you know, good melodies, and it's a little bit more harkening back to the old stuff, like songwriting wise, than like their last two or three, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Hard to argue with anything you said. I know that I'm going to end up hearing this more this year than any other album that comes out, for sure.
Because Wilson's going to be playing it?
Because Wilson's going to be playing it all the time.
What's his preliminary review?
He loves it, you know.
Cool.
But he was destined to love it. They would have to make something pretty bad for him not to love it. You know, it took him a long time to even admit to himself that he doesn't like the Terror that much. Mm-hmm. That it's just like kind of okay, but ultimately disappointing. And I think he was a little bit apprehensive, but when it came out and he, you know, heard it, just listened to it over and over and over again, and he really likes it. But we actually had to go and buy the deluxe vinyl 2-disc edition, and he bought the CD too.
Wow!
So he spent like $55.
Does it have like crazy colored vinyl?
Yeah, it's got like one orange one and one purple record, and it came with a single. They did a cover of, I can't remember what it was, some prominent song that's actually well done, and you know, so he's excited about it.
Well, that's pretty cool.
But I don't know, it's one of those things where you know, going into it, you have expectations. Like, say you're a person that maybe felt that they've long been overappreciated, right? When you listen to this album, you're going to be like, that's ridiculous. They're just trying to relive the old days, and those albums were pretty good, but this just doesn't have it, and, you know, thumbs down. Or if you're, you know, predisposed to like it, wow, it's a return to form. This is great. Maybe it sounds a little bit like their past stuff, but, you know, if it's that good, why not keep doing it, you know? So your expectations and what you know, your history with the band really kind of color how you're going to react. And obviously that's the same as with anything. But I guess what I don't like is the, you know, the music press that will come in and not even really admit to these things and, you know, give an opinion of the album as if it's, you know, they're just neutral observers and considering, they're trying to consider, what were the Flaming Lips attempting to do with this album? And were they successful at that? And they'll listen to it supposedly through that prism and then come up with a 30 out of 100, which is what, you know, like Tiny Mixtapes are one of those shitty little things did, which just makes me sick. It's like, if this is on a 5-star system, you're seriously telling me this is a 1.5-star album. That's ridiculous.
Well, you know, that's the way the music press works. And you're blazing a new trail here, Barrett, because obviously the common way to review music is that you're supposed to take a position, and it either it's good or it isn't good, right? And even if you admit that it's only your opinion, you still have to take that position. Whereas you're saying here, well, it could be interpreted as really good or it could be interpreted as really not very good. So
right. I think either way, you have to admit that it sounds the way it does, right?
Yeah.
And it's, I think, pretty heavy on melody compared to the last two. And, you know, like I said, like the song that I chose has those, just the imagery of this kind of the psychedelic day glow kind of crazy stuff.
Doesn't it seem like they were really making an effort to sort of combine the Flaming Lips of the last three albums and the Flaming Lips of the, you know, maybe three albums before that.
Yeah.
You know?
I would.
So, I think it's reasonably successful in doing that.
It's a little less accessible than their most accessible stuff, but not as much as Wait, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it.
Splits the difference in pretty much the exact same way that you just said. I was attempting just to repeat your thoughts in different words.
Yeah. So. All right. Let's play another one that I think is one of the catchier good tunes. It's called Sunrise, Eyes of the Young. Flaming Lips.
Yep. Overall, I'd give it a, if we're going to do a pitchfork type thing, I would give it a 7.7.
That's pretty good. I'm going to give it a 7.1.
Okay.
But definitely some good moments on there. Should mm-hmm. we start doing that now this year? Well, like every review, we have to put a number on it?
I don't know.
I kind of like numbers, but
numbers are good.
I'm nerdy that way.
Yeah. I'd rather maybe jump around, use different scales. Yeah. Some, yeah. You know, A, B, C, D, and F, you know,
I think
some four out of, you know,
yeah.
4 stars.
I've mentioned this before, but that's my least favorite system is the A, B, C system. It's kind of like, I don't know.
But it does force you to stake out a position.
But it's like
you can, you know how like on Metacritic, they'll read a review that doesn't have any kind of a grade and they'll be like, what was that? I guess that was a 30.
They try to translate it to a number, yeah.
When you're doing that, like, I don't know. Would the person, if they that wrote that review, if they were giving it a letter grade, giving it a 30, is giving it, you're getting an F by, like, 30 points. Could have been twice as good and still gotten an F. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to, yeah, you know, you can't just, I don't know.
Well,
it forces you to, you know, stake a claim. And I give, so, you know, somebody's like, oh, Bear, give it a 7.7. What does that mean? it's kind of dumb.
It was the,
but what if I said it was a solid B? That's what I would give it. It's a B. There's a pretty big range.
All right.
Is, you know, and we both kind of gave it, you gave it like a B minus and I gave it a B.
Yeah, that's about right, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
it's more telling. It really does. I think it says more about the thing than just a number.
Okay. You've given the argument for that position.
Let's give, yeah. Maybe we can go with, think of something completely different. I'm not going to propose anything right now, but we'll think outside the box. Maybe there's a whole different way to do this. I'll come up with something.
All right.
Colors or
You know what somebody told me once, and I don't know if this is true, but this guy, he was the dad of one of my best friends, and he was a graduate student in math. Okay, he was a math major, and he was getting his, I think he got his master's, but he didn't get his PhD, and he once said that in order to get a PhD in math, you had to invent like an entire different way of looking at math. There was some crazy, yeah. It was so abstract that I thought, how would anybody ever get a PhD in math?
Right.
So it made me think of it because that's... you are going to think of an entirely new way expressing music reviews.
Right.
Right? All right.
It might be so out there, though, that are people going to be able to grasp it?
Well, that's part of the whole deal, right? Because if people can't comprehend it, then it might not serve a valuable purpose. This is all about communication, right?
Right.
We might think that we are just sitting here in Fourth Bedroom Studios having a conversation.
Right.
In fact, we're talking to all of the listeners internationally right now. Isn't that
right.
cool?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good, right?
It's cool.
Hey, we heard from another Melbourne person recently, and everybody who's been sending us messages... I'm sorry if I didn't mention all of them, but that's awesome. So keep doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
We're the application list for being a correspondent. I've got a stack about foot and a half high right here. So we won't be able to get to any of those anytime soon.
Right.
But, you know, keep sending in your stuff. It's awesome.
Right now, David Zuger is, we've got him. He's at the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, right? He's in Appleton.
Yep.
And I think he's from New York City, so
yeah.
He might be disappointed by the restaurant scene in Appleton. We sort of grew up...
on other
opposite. Each of us about a half an hour away from Appleton.
Right.
You know, I mean, if he likes Chili's and Benvenuto's and Red Robin, he's probably doing all right. But if he's got more refined tastes than those, he might be disappointed.
But, you know, on the other hand, it could be worth it to live in Appleton for a couple of years that you could,
you got to pay your dues. Not everybody. I mean, there's the occasional guys that just skips, you know, gets signed to a contract out of high school and then they're on the big league club like Robin Yount.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, and like Chris, I mean, we had to give him a $100,000 bonus and bump him right up to the big leagues immediately. He was kind of cocky, but he backed it up.
Yeah.
So, you know, we let him in. But then we had some trouble after that, you know, with the
right.
all the probation that he's been on and some of the
we just have so much money tied up in the guy.
Right.
You kind of have to keep playing him.
Right. It's hard. It's hard to just drop him after you've got
this much.
David's
probably a stronger prospect than he is at this point, you know. He's funnier than Chris, smarter than Chris, cooler than Chris.
Yeah.
Friendlier than Chris.
At a certain point, it comes down to performance on the field, right?
Right.
You know, and so I hope these guys realize that.
Yeah. We might have to just declare it an open competition. Although, if I do that, I might find myself out on the curb.
Got to be careful.
I could be optioned down to Appleton.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, maybe for like, you know what we should do? Bring David up. For a little taste of like a late season call up, right? And then put Chris down at the Timber Rattlers for like a rehab assignment. Give him a couple of starts down there.
Yeah, you know,
see if he can get his confidence back playing against lesser competition.
The other thing we could do would be at the end of each year, the lowest performing podcaster gets relegated.
Oh my God!
Right?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
My. Then we can have a set. We can have like another podcast.
Yeah,
that's like
we won't publicize it at all, so it only gets like 10 listeners.
Right, right? Exactly. Like, yeah, not many people would go.
And they have
but
to get,
they'd be so motivated.
They'd have to get
well.
Their own correspondence, right? And then,
yeah.
and then the only the top correspondent from that group gets bumped back up here.
This is going to be kind of complicated, but I think it's really the only way to make this thing work.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of a hybrid American baseball / European club football type system that we're going to have. I have to work out the details, but I think that's a good outline.
Well, as we move into 2017, one thing has continued, and that is our ability to kill time, right? We're pretty good
at it. That's
right, yeah. Yeah. So probably about 37% of the listeners have deleted this file and said, forget it, we'll try again next week. But but those 63% have stuck with us. Good job, people. Now you get to hear us talk about, are we going to call them indie rock veterans? The XX.
I think that's
a stretch. It's only their third album, right? But it just feels like they've been around a while now. Because they've had pretty good success with their first two albums, and they're like 2 or 3 years between albums. And then, you know, the interest sort of continues. So, you know, I think they've kept themselves kind of relevant, right? Or at least people care about them. Maybe Barrett doesn't care about them. We're going to find out a little bit more about that. But they have a new album called I See You. And it's kind of, I think it's interesting because it still has some of that indie rock minor chord 80s type sound. But then it's got more of that kind of R&B sound now, right?
Yeah.
Which I think...
to the extreme.
It's probably going to make them huge, I think, for better or for worse. And we'll tell you whether we think it's better or worse after we play some music. I'm starting with track 2, Say Something Loving.
I just don't remember the thrill of affection. I just don't remember.
Say something loving.
I need a reminder, the feelings escaped me.
It's growing all the time. I do myself a disservice to feel this weak, to be this nervous.
You say something loving.
It's so overwhelming, the thrill of affection.
That's the XX.
Yep. I feel like I want to withhold my judgment.
All right.
Do you? I mean, if you disagree with that, I'd kind of like to play our examples and then maybe to let the listeners formulate opinions as they hear them.
This will keep suspense going too.
Yeah.
All right. What's your pick?
I am going to pick number 5. It's called Performance.
If I scream at the top of my lungs, will you hear what I don't say? If I dance like I'm on a stage, will you see I seem out of place? If I put on a disguise, will you think everything's all right? If I leave before the end, will you forget that I was? I'll put on a performance.
I'll put on a show. It is a performance. I do it a whole song. You won't see me hurting when my heart it breaks. I'll put on a performance. I'll put on a brave face. Even when I was hiding, you could always find.
So that one's got kind of no percussion and flangey guitar and, you know, kind of as far as vocally, pretty much in keeping with the rest of the album.
Yeah. A lot of, it's kind of sparse, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of space in it.
A lot of the other songs are, have a little bit more, more going on in them sonically, you know, and this one, I did like the way that it didn't have the fuzzy percussion. And so anyway.
All right, let's play one more that goes in the other direction. Then we can, we'll unload on the album one way or the other, right?
Yeah.
This is, I think this is the hit. It's called On Hold.
I don't blame you. We got carried away. I can't hold on to an empty space.
Now you've found a new star to orbit. It could be love. I think you're too soon to call us old. When and where did we go cold? I thought I had you on hold. And every time I let you leave, I always saw you coming back to me. Orbit, it could be love. I think you're too soon to call us so. When and where did we go cold? I thought I had you on hold. And every time I let you leave, I always saw you coming back to me. When and where did we go cold? I thought I had you on hold.
The XX.
That was On Hold, and music journalism has determined. Now, did you recognize? I didn't recognize that at all.
No.
But that's a sample from Hall & Oates, the song I Can't Go For That, which I remember that song, but I didn't even recognize the sample
what,
as being
what
from
particular
that.
Part?
Like I don't the... know, but supposedly that's where it's from, and Daryl Hall from Hall & Oates said, that's great, have fun, and pay me. That was mm-hmm. his quote.
Yeah.
He comes across kind of harsh, but I'm not sure if that's kind of out of context, so I'm not going to slam him too much for that.
Right.
I mean,
yeah,
if you're going to sample...
I don't recognize it. Yeah. I mean, I haven't heard that, the original song, in a long time, but...
Yeah. But, you know, if you're going to sample, you ought to pay, right?
Right.
All right. Well, there you go. That's the XX album. We might think something about it.
Yeah.
But we haven't told you yet. Who's going first?
Who do you want to go first?
I want you to go first.
All right. I hate it.
I was getting that vibe, you know. And I was wondering, is he going to surprise us? Is he going to say, wait, no, it's fantastic?
No. I think I might be able to learn to accept it if I started, you know. I mean, you know what it's a little bit like? It's a little bit like a really subdued Yaz, right?
Yeah, there's some of that.
With that, you know, just with the female vocals, you could imagine that being Alison Moyet and then Vincent Clark, if he like really toned down the synthesizer and it was updated, it might sound something like this. And I like Yaz, but I don't know. You know, it starts off with kind of a almost like a dancey song, the first song. So I was trying to imagine. I listened to it once and it was a chore. You know, like when you when you're listening to an album on your iTunes or whatever, and
yeah,
you like check to see how far into it and you're like, oh. You're but like, it's only 39 minutes. So I was near the end fairly quickly. I just don't like the way it sounds.
Is it the sound of it? One thing that is, you know, their first album, the vocals were basically a whisper, right? And I didn't listen to the second one that much. It was maybe a little bit less whispery, but I think on this album they're singing more, you know, just they're singing louder.
And right.
That's one thing that a lot of the reviewers really like. They're like, okay, this band's kind of coming out of its shell, and that's really fun, you know?
Okay.
And I kind of think, I'm coming out a little bit positive on this album. In fact, you know what? I'm going to give it a 7.4, and that's higher than I gave the Flaming Lips album.
So, wow.
Because I think it's a more consistent album. It's like, if you like two of the songs, you're probably going to like most of it, because the whole thing has kind of a consistent sound. And I don't think it has any real filler. It's just a matter of, you know, do you go for that sound? And there is a little bit, when it gets to the more kind of R&B type sound, and the vocals are kind of stylized, right? I mean, that's kind of what I think of a lot of the music we listen to. The singing and the vocal kind of affect is very earnest and, you know, hard on your sleeve kind of thing, right?
Right.
And this is more, the vocals are kind of styled a little bit, which just makes it
like
more.
And
then that way, I think that maybe, I don't know if that's what turned you off to it or not, but I like the whole sparsity and then all the reverb they use on the recording, and I think it sounds kind of cool, and I think it has, you know, quite a few really decent, well-written songs.
Right. Yeah.
So,
no, I don't. I just don't like it. That's where it gets down to, you know, if I were writing for a publication and I had to write a review of this, I just say I'm not the guy to do it.
I think
because
if we were in
listen to it, and I just don't like it. I don't want to listen to it. So I'd have to really kind of give it two grades. I'd have to be like, okay, if you're looking at me as someone like a gatekeeper telling you what to buy, and your tastes align with mine, I'd say run away screaming. Don't buy this.
Yeah.
Don't even listen to it once unless you want to know what people are talking about. But, you know, I guess if I were a professional, I'd have to listen to it a few more times and get my opinions about it out of the way, which is, it's a really weird thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
How does one do that? I don't know that I could ever do that. So
we could, I was going to say,
I'll just
if we were in pass. If we were in the Pitchfork boardroom, right? And they have to, do you think they decide, all right, we're just going to designate a reviewer for this album and then you give it whatever score you want? Or do they say, we're going to reach a consensus score, and then we'll have somebody, you know, it's kind of like a Supreme Court opinion, because Pitchfork reviews are about equally important, right?
That's,
probably.
True.
In their minds, maybe, right? So they probably have there's the boardroom in the back, right? And there's like the board of reviewers is probably like 10 or 12 people. This is how I'm guessing that they do it, right? They kind of decide, is this significant from a cultural standpoint, because obviously they're oversensitive to how they're going to be perceived. So they have to include that. And then, you know, just how well do they like it musically? So anyway, whatever their criteria are, I would bet they try to come up with, okay, are we, you know, are we going to really like it? Are we going to kind of medium like it? Or are we going to kind of not really like it? And then just appoint somebody to write the review.
Right.
Right. That's probably what they do. But they should have like concurring and dissenting opinions.
They'd have to have so many meetings, though.
We could meet every day
and talk about five CDs. But, CDs, listen to me.
Yeah.
Talk about five albums.
Yeah. Like, we could do that. That could be our review thing.
Okay.
We could do like Supreme Court record reviews, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right? So we have a meeting of the editorial board, and then we appoint somebody to write the opinion, but then there can be like a dissenting opinion or a concurring opinion.
Right.
Right?
That's pretty good.
So like if I would probably get the majority on the XX album because the reviewers like that album, right? But then you would write a scathing dissent.
Right.
It would just, and you could just unload, right?
I would be terse. Short. To the point.
Yep.
It sucks.
You could just do that.
You know, that's all you need to say.
Right.
But, you know, I've got, I can say that without really putting myself on the line or worrying about hurting anybody's feelings because I just don't like it. I'm not saying anything about its artistic merit.
Yeah.
I don't like to listen to the music that sounds like that.
Yeah.
I like R&B. I like indie rock. And you put them together. And in this case, it doesn't work for me. I just, you know, I'm not going to listen to that again on purpose. Maybe it'll be on at a bar or something. And then I'll just, you know.
Yeah, you're going to be in some store that thinks it's cool. And it'll be playing that. They'll be playing on hold.
Yeah. What would be a store that would play that?
Probably like Urban Outfitters.
Urban Outfitters. I got that right.
I bet you they play it at Starbucks, too.
You think so? Probably. Yeah. Good chance.
Trader Joe's might play it.
Although they play a lot of older stuff.
Yeah, their demographic is older people like us. I've heard Echo and the Bunnymen in there.
Yeah, like, I've heard some good stuff.
Yeah.
Never anything too bad. It's all kind of, you know, I'm sure it's all carefully thought out, but
yeah,
maybe an XX song and get in there.
Yeah.
Sneak in there during the off-peak hours or something.
Yeah. Do you think they study it enough that...
I think they must.
What music is playing during peak hours and non-peak? Because the demographic would be slightly different, probably.
Right. You'd be like, all right.
The weekend demographic is different. And, you know, Tuesday night at 8:40 when there are only like 10 people in there.
This week we've got 10 pallets of Joe's O's cereal. We got to unload and we got to think of some music that's going to make people want to eat cereal.
Yeah.
And then we've got these leftover, cinnamon brooms. We got on a closeout. What's going to make people buy that stuff? So I've got people carefully considering all those things.
Yeah.
Do you go there like every day?
Well, like.
Because you guys have to realize how close.
Yeah. Fourth Bedroom Studios is literally a 3-minute walk to the interior of the Trader Joe's store. That's how close we are. I'm probably there 4 days a week.
Yeah.
Because when you're that close, one thing is you can have a family of five and not really have a big refrigerator because you can just walk over there at any moment.
Yeah. It's nice because you also basically live by a liquor store, which is kind of nice.
Oh, that's always good. Yeah.
Although they don't have any cold beer in the Madison store, at least.
In Barrique's, they do.
Well, in Brinks they do, but I mean at Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's does not have cold beer, right? Right. But Brinks is right across the street.
Right.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We live in Wisconsin. We're never going to be far away from available beer.
Yeah. I've got, from my house, I have to get into a car. I'd have to walk a pretty good distance to get to a liquor store. So.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, I guess that's why, that's probably why your real estate taxes are higher than mine. That's all part of the calculation.
Exactly.
How far from the liquor store is this house?
Right. Yeah. They should put that in the listing, right?
Sure.
They say like...
near the park, near the bus line, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. You know what's a funny thing that they do in real estate listings around here? I wonder if this is sort of a like a political bias or a rural-urban bias or whatever. A lot of times they will advertise the property and say... Madison Schools, right? And that's really good. But then sometimes you see like oh, you don't have to go to those Madison schools. They don't phrase it that way, but,
right.
You know, being out of Madison schools is good.
Right.
Right? So it's funny how that is from marketing perspective.
It is funny.
Yeah.
I guess
we're pro Madison schools.
Right.
Let's put that on the record.
But maybe someone who was looking for a less diverse school, someone that was a racist,
yeah,
might be like, "Hey, I want to put my kids in school in you know, Oregon, Wisconsin."
Yeah.
You know. So, I think that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
It's racism.
Thinly
veiled.
Right. I'm with you on that. All right, now we can leave it on that comment.
Yep.
Hey, thanks everybody. We got 2017 off to a start. I keep saying 2017. A lot of people say 2017. I'm not sure why I've kind of just gravitated toward that, but sounds right to me.
Yeah. We could just call it 17.
Yeah, we could call it 17. You know, somebody mentioned this to me. I think Grant did. Did you know that we are only now like a couple of years from our next Best of the Decade podcast, right?
That's pretty weird.
The end of 2019, we have to do our whatever you call this decade.
Right.
Our top 10 of the decade, right?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, let's just give a little preview. I think like mid-year this year, maybe in June, we should do our favorite albums of the 90s. Wouldn't that be kind of fun?
That would be fun.
Just, I mean, even you, Barrett, you could find 10 really good albums from the 90s, even though you're down on the 90s. I'm kind of down on the 90s, but I still can come up with some really great stuff.
Right. I mean, I think the general zeitgeist of the 90s was awful, but there's a lot of good stuff going on, too.
Yeah. There's like, you know what band is really terrible? Remember the band called Live?
I know there's a band called Live, and I don't know. Oh. I can't think of what their music sounds like.
What was that band that was trying to sound like Nirvana?
Like Silverchair.
Oh God!
Remember that?
Oh God! Yeah,
or Bush.
Bush. That's what I was thinking of. But that was like Bush is unbelievably terrible. Like
yeah,
I really
both
can't
are.
Stand them. Yeah, Bush and Live though. Live was pretty bad too.
Right.
Who would call their band Live? Come on.
I know. Live. That's just Live.
Terrible. Oh, now we've offended some more people. See, what we try to do is offend just enough people so we lose a few listeners every week. Because that makes us sort of an anti-podcast, right?
Yeah. I don't think anybody that listens to our music or our podcast likes
Wouldn't
Live
mind.
Or Bush.
No, they shouldn't.
Probably not.
We already dumped all the Trump people.
Yeah.
But we're hoping that wasn't very many anyway.
Do you think was any? I mean,
yeah, it could have been
like... Some, there's had to have been some.
Could be like three. I
mean, some younger listeners maybe just are maybe conservatives or Republicans by default because their parents are... Never really thought too much about it.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, I guess Trump is the guy. So they have time to turn things around, but you already have grown adults that are our age or somewhere between, you know, anybody that's out of high school or into their 20s ought to know better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jesus Christ.
All right.
But
good enough.
You know, he hasn't attempted to shut down our podcast yet.
No, not
Although
yet.
We should go on Twitter and block him so that he can't follow Will's Band of the Week if he tries, which would be, you know, that would really make him mad. Not a big chance, but there's a small chance.
Yeah.
So let's do it.
All right. We'll start a little war on Twitter. All right, good enough. Thanks everybody for listening. And I think we're going to have a Grant's Underground next week. We'll talk off the air, but there's just all kinds of excitement. We will have so much to talk about in 2 weeks, and we have a bunch for next week too. There's going to be no stopping us, pretty much.
That's right.
Who did that song? Nothing's going to stop us now. That applies to us.
That was probably Jefferson Starship, right?
Oh, that sounds right. Yeah,
yeah.
I knew it was terrible.
Was.
It was like I was thinking it was like a Journey type song, but not by Journey.
Yeah, I think it was.
Is it Nothing's Going to Stop Us Now or No One's Going to Stop Us Now? Probably Nothing.
I think.
Is that Marty Balin? You know, that really...
Yeah.
Like the really the worst
right.
Starship or Jefferson Starship. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, it still applies to us. Nothing's Going to Stop Us Now.
No. Nothing. Right. No one. No how. No way.
Right. Okay. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app. All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter at Will's Band. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.